are becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Oh, yes, of His Christ.
You who are proven that you can give, put your life down and take it again. Have your way this evening. Breathe new breath of life upon us. As we made a covenant with you this morning, we await the breathing of the new spirit that you have ordained from heaven for these end time times. Be thou exalted, Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome, Holy Spirit, our teacher, our friend, and companion. God bless you. My duty this morning to introduce us to why and wherefore the Holy Spirit in the church. This evening, we are trying to clarify the position a bit better, taking the church as an institution and the activities that when one enters the church, where the Holy Spirit is present and active, one's life changes. This evening, I shall not so much depend on my notes. In the morning, I didn't refer to them at all. But this afternoon, I may come back and forth. But there's something I want you to know. In the morning, we said the coming of the Holy Spirit into the church is a spiritual movement. And why is it so? When man is left on his own understanding and power, he operates as but man. Let me repeat. When man is left on his own to operate whatever assignment, whatever task, he operates as but man. But the church is not a human institution. The church is a divine institution. The church was conceived in heaven before Jesus Christ came. When he came, the triune God, headed by the Father, said, this now is the time for the new thing that we want to do in and among men, redeemed after the old order. The old order is an order of self, death, sin, death, satanic oppression, and Satan control of the universe. In the new order, God is taking back his creation and reorder the affairs of his creation in honor and in respect of what he wanted to prevail on earth. As we are taught to pray, that the will of God be done on earth what? As in heaven. Since no man has been to heaven to bring and teach us order from heaven, and since Jesus Christ, the only one who came from heaven and introduced heavenly matters to us, is going back to his original position, it was deemed necessary that the church should not be left on her own to struggle and bring to fruition the eternal plans of the great I am that I am God. Jesus said, it is expedient that what? I go. And when I go, I will pray the Father, and he will let who come? The Comfort, the Holy Ghost. This evening, I want you to know from this perspective that the coming of the Holy Spirit in the church make the church an institution, a place where man, having been born again, now baptized in the Holy Spirit, is going to learn how to walk as a new man, how to pray as a spiritual person, how to combat spirit with spirits, and how to reorder the affairs of the earth and the universe according to the will and purposes of the Creator. So to put it simply, the church is a school. We learned this morning that Jesus Christ does not deal with old people. The old man. He said, whoever shall enter this school, the first thing required of the person is what? He must be born again. Because the old nature, which was already rejected, cannot make it. There's no possibility within the old rejected nature to put on the new nature. So the whole, there should be a spiritual metamorphosis, a rebirth, recreation of man. Behold, all that come to Christ are what? New creation. But how can a new creation, a new baby, know how to walk? There be no teacher, there be no guide, there be nobody who has knowledge of what obtains where in heaven. So he directs the affairs on earth since Jesus has gone. John 14 says, now that he's going to take Father and he will take his rightful place, then the church can do what? Greater works. Because at that time, all authority what has been given to him. And not only that, he would have had the Holy Spirit what? Represent him, receiving from from him and directing affairs. Every Christian starts the journey of the Christian life with what? The new birth. But Jesus said it is not enough, even the new birth. If he was baptized in the old system, he must be what? Baptized. He must be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You know, if there's no baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's no way the Holy Spirit can operate. Sanctification of the old ways, sanctification of the senses of man and the brain of man cannot comprehend and cannot match the requirement of the new life of a new born again, spirit filled, walking by divine eternal purpose. The performance of the man born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit is a completely new human phenomenon that is spiritual. We are considering the church in this context, the church itself, as an institution. When you become a member of the church born again, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. You are in school. Now will you learn how to talk heavenly language? Now you will learn how to address spirits and powers under the orders and authority of the Creator. Now will you be able to receive the beautiful, holy, divine things from above, or pray them even in a similar, the same human nature, yet a newness of life and style, understanding. Hallelujah. 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 You should be grateful, not only that you are born again, but that you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. If you are not baptized by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you cannot operate the things of the Spirit. Jude is saying, when you are not baptized by the Holy Spirit and you don't know how to operate in the Holy Spirit, you operate by what? Your senses. And sense wisdom is not eternal. It depends upon your feeling, your sight and touch and all the rest. But a man who is filled with the Holy Ghost and coming forth does not operate by feelings or sight or touch. He operates directly. There's a direct connecting line between him and the heavenlies. And that is how he operates. That is why I want you this evening to prepare your heart. However much you have known God, some of you are even hearing what I'm talking about free for the first time. You don't know that having been baptized by the Holy Spirit, now your new nature is now completely settled, and that you are going to live a spiritual life. You live as a spiritual person whose lifestyle, conversation, and order in life does not depend upon the feelings, the things around you, but what is from where? Abel. Then you cherish this heavenly connection. Hallelujah. You always take effort to be filled with whom? The Holy Spirit. Because without him, Jesus said in John 15, without him, Jesus, what? You can do nothing. But now that you want to follow him, he said, I have given you a friend, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Whatever you need, and however wisdom you need, whatever power you need, whatever style of operation or design of things you be, he is here to direct you. So one of the secrets of the new life is humility. I've learned and I've been with many ministers and friends. The greatest hindrance to a lot of them to know the true things of God is their brain, a trust in their own thinking power and their senses. When a man begins to trust his own thinking power and his senses, he disqualifies himself from heavenly things. He says, except you die what? To yourself. You cannot be what? My disciple. You cannot contain the heavenly things I have for the earth. That's part of the tragedy of the church. That over the years, in spite of the Holy Spirit coming, we are told this morning, there are debates among, I won't say men of God, among Christians. It's better to call them children, Christians. If a man is a man of God, then he has divine certificate. That is one. It is not satanic certificate. It's not a Jewish certificate. There's a core nature being an attitude and life written in heaven, which is committed and is connected to this person, your child. So I want you to humble yourself tonight. Since the Holy Spirit in the church makes the church what? A holy spiritual what? Institution. To learn afresh how to walk and work and even talk as a spiritual person. To do what? Now that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then remember that you are no more whom you used to be. You are no more expected to solve problems and to see worldly things or things around you in the light of your senses, in the light of your studies, in the light of your understanding, in the light of your pleasures. Nay,
now that you have become a member of the heavenly family of the household of God, there we talk heavenly language. There we get direction from the throne, and there we operate to bring to pass the purposes of the Almighty Father on earth. And this is a distinctly different thing, unique, for nobody can copy it. You have to be brought into this holy institution of the church. By whom? The Holy Spirit. It's a Father who calls you. A Son forgives your sins, sanctifies you, gives you His Spirit, you are born again. They say, okay, now you are ready to walk with me. I'll be filled with what? Be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then learn to be filled. The extent to which you walk in being filled with the Holy Ghost, studying the scripture, letting the Holy Spirit interpret direct on the scripture, and let your life be determined according to the will of the Father and the Son, who allow the Holy Spirit to come, and whom the Holy Spirit is representing with you and by you. If you can learn to humble yourself and submit to this, then will you fulfill the purposes of your calling? If you think that thanking God, thank God for that. Hallelujah. I want to go on simple track with you tonight. I don't want to be speaking high languages. I want to make it simple. So the church is an institution. Everybody, the church is what? A heavenly institution being established where? On earth. That the church can interpret, understand, interpret, and work out what? Heavenly what? Decisions and purposes on the earth. So, and one of the beautiful things, the Lord, then will the earth, creation, know the Creator. When you begin to behave differently, not like all other human beings do, because creature, you are part of the old system, creature. So when you behave like fellow creature, you are a creature. But when you are born again and you are believing as a spiritual person, and you discard the old ways, and now you are doing new things according to heavenly divine order and glory, hallelujah, you make the Creator happy. He can call you his own. I'm suggesting that don't confuse yourself. Don't mix up holy things with non-holy things. Don't do your study and work of God according to a human understanding or human learning. That will not make you walk in heavenly terms. Reject the earthly propositions and follow the holy heavenly. And that is why this morning I try to let you know that it is Jesus who said what? I will build my church. He found Peter to declare who he is. Thou art what? The Christ. But he didn't say, Peter, build my church for me. I will build what? My church. And why? The gate of heaven. Yeah, what? The gate of hell. Cannot what? Prevail. Because the gate of hell is part of the earthly proposition. And if you are coming as one, This afternoon, I was rejoicing. I was watching those of you, you know, just on TV. Ascot. The English people are proud about races. They have a race called Ascot once every year. And the men wear bowler hats. The women wear all kinds of hats. A millionaire is displayed. One day, I was to minister in London. And I was dealing with ethnic matters and the state of Europe or UK in affairs of men. I was going to address Europe, UK, in particular, regarding God's will and purposes in his end time. I have had one version before, but this one is another one. Then the Lord told me, listen, brethren, the Lord told me, now that you are going to address English people spiritually, for you to enter into the minds and hearts of the English people, you must dress as them. And so tonight, I was going to address in Africa tonight, I want you to dress with bowler hats. Have you seen a bowler hat before?
Yes.
And what? The Englishman is known with bowler hat and what? Umbrella. And when you have the umbrella here, and you have the bowler hat, and your coat tail is what? Long. And you are passing, then you are what? An aristocrat. Here is a true what? Englishman. And you see the wisdom of whom? God. He said, the spiritual doors of England will not be open to you. You have to beat the system. And how do you beat the system? Dress like them. And so that was not a practical one, spiritual one. The Lord made me appear spiritually, talking to English people and foreigners in England, one church on the kingdom of God. And he said, what? I want you to address them as what? One of them. Because you have qualified, because you are in bowler hat and well dressed with the umbrella, then you are one of them. Where would earthly wisdom find this? Praise the Lord. Nicodemus told Jesus Christ, except what? You want me to do what? Go into my mother's womb and be what? So it means that if I would be an Englishman and I have attention of English people, even English who say they are Christians, I must be part of their tradition and culture. Hallelujah. This is not the only place I had that. I had another experience in Bimbila. I'm talking about God's wisdom in addressing earthly and human matters. I was going to deal with the power, Ashanti Kingdom power, the Okomfanoche power, the golden stool power. Who introduced it to them? Okomfanoche. And the Lord told me that that power came from where? Bimbila. It's a dwarf power, but Okomfanoche took the power from Bimbila people. And before he introduced the Ashantis to the Bimbila power, he had to dress and enter as an Ashanti. Because they are Bimbila gods and powers and spirits and men have entered an agreement between whom? Ashanti and themselves. My son, if you are going to speak to Bimbila and address the power there, they will not open their doors to you. But I tell you, if you dress like an Ashanti, they'll open their doors for you. So spiritually, there's a what? Agreement, a covenant between whom? The Bimbila people and whom? Ashantis. Standing eternally from a time of whom? Osetutu and Okomfanoche. And if we want to draw them out and get that power no more to operate in God, my son, it is only at Bimbila you can finish this Ashanti power, war power, etc. But the Bimbila people will not let you come in like anybody. But if you dress like an Ashanti, hallelujah, they have a covenant with them. And so the first night of crusade in Bimbila, I dressed practically as what? An Ashanti with a cloth. And the Lord asked me, the first thing you do when you go to the crusade, dance before me. They have never seen anybody worship God. There were churches, and there still are churches where in Bimbila, but they have not the gods and the powers, the call beings of the Bimbila people, they have not received. Seen nor heard the gospel before, because the other people are talking to the southerners that come to where, and they are speaking some language, but to talk the Bimbila language for the Bimbila people to listen, and you are not a Bimbila person yourself, dress an Ashanti. Number two, find somebody who speaks the Bimbila word language naturally, and the person must be, you lay hands on the person in public, in the full public of everybody. And so an Assemblies of God pastor offered herself. She has never done interpretation anywhere, but I laid hand on her and prayed. And then when I started to preach, this woman was preaching. When I said one sentence, she would tell you three words. Three. Because the whole thing, the Holy Spirit was rattling the Bimbila language to the Bimbila people in the Bimbila. And so, for the first time, they heard the gospel. This is not pride. I say that when you come to where? The church. And the door of who is open to you? The Holy Spirit's presence. You are where? In a school. You must learn how to humble yourself so that the Holy Spirit will guide you. Amen. 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 On the same line, when you take the fivefold industry, fivefold ministers, Ephesians chapter 4. They are called apostles, prophets, what? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Each of these will have a calling, a direct connection with Jesus Christ, who does the calling. And the charge to the fivefold is to build the people. We learn this morning into what? That they must know who? Jesus Christ. And be conformed unto a perfect man, unto the very stature of whom? Jesus Christ. So the church there also is what? A school. A school. The church is a school. It's an institution. So if you go to the church and they are clapping and you said, that's for me, I don't clap. And they are dancing. And you said, well, I don't love dancing. But if your holy desire is to what? Worship God. Where? In spirit and what? And in truth. And you open your heart, the Holy Spirit will change your mindset, your understanding, your hatred into love, your helplessness into mighty power. So the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit is to turn the church into what? a spiritual institution to develop spiritual things to honor in the Father's will, so his will be done on earth as in heaven. And he needs men, and he has found you and I. All we need is to humble ourselves. If you think you have a degree, or you are a royalist from Nyankwala Market, or Kotobra, I'm tempted to describe crabs. I'm describing the market. If you only conversant with Kotokrabra market, you will not be able to turn the market into a holy grounds of God, except you take it the way the Father would. And who will teach you that way? The Holy Spirit. Taking you to the institutional side, what makes the Holy Spirit the initiator and establisher of the church into what? An institution is this. It's not theology you want to learn. It's not the theology. It's not how many gifts of the Holy Spirit there are, and you pass an exam in it. No, it's how you submit yourself to the direction, guidance, and control of whom? The Holy Spirit. So the church is an institution. The fivefold ministry are put there to make the church function properly as an institution. I'm taking the church also as an institution through the Holy Spirit as an institution from a second order affair. And I want you to distinguish this from the first one. The coming of the Holy Spirit into the church is to open the door of the church to walk in spiritual matters, to be able to correspond with heaven and be agency of heavenly affairs where? On earth. To prepare men for God to use for his purposes. That's the purpose. That's what the apostles are called there for. But there's a second purpose of the Holy Spirit himself. First of all, Jesus told them in John 14 that he is going away and it's expedient that the Holy Ghost come. I will send you. I will not leave you what? But I'll give you. I will send who to you? I will pray the Father. He will send you whom? The Holy Spirit or the Comforter. He shall be with you. He shall abide with you. You see the difference? Jesus Christ is gone. The divine dimension of the church was lost when he ascended. And so the church became like what? Orphans, hiding and praying. Because Jesus is gone. There's no future. The power by which he was healing and doing all that is gone with him. Though they have forgotten that they were doing that. Yes, the presence of Jesus Christ was sufficient to give them confidence. And as long as he was there, yes, as long as he was in the boat, even though the storms were raging, they finally called him and he rebuked the storm. And they said, what manner of man is this? So Jesus Christ's presence was a great assurance, but his ascension and leaving them made them what? Like what? Orphans. And he said, I will not leave you like orphans. I will come again. I will send whom to you? The Comforter. And so in that direction, the Holy Spirit himself has come to institutionalize his operations within the church so that the church shall be able to perform the functions, the heavenly functions on earth. And the greatest function the church is to play on earth is to go and witness of whom? Jesus. To tell the world who Jesus is. As Jesus told the world who what? The Father was. Now is the time of the church to tell the whole world who is Jesus. That's why he asked the question, who do men say that what I am? So in this second order of institutional arrangement, where the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit himself is the teacher. He himself is the teacher. He's not just an agent of transmission of heavenly things unto people, gifts, etc. But he's the teacher. First of all, his presence makes the place an institution. He will be with you forever. He will be with you. Then when he comes, he will teach you what? He is the spirit of what? Truth. So he will teach you all that what? I have told you. All that I have taught you, he will remind you. And he will teach you of all of it. So the Holy Spirit, first, is coming to teach the church what? The truth about God, about Jesus Christ, about creation, about powers, about all things. Are distinct from the Father. He has come to teach. John 14, 16 down. 21. He says, if you obey me, I will manifest myself to you. And if you obey me sufficiently, and my Father is pleased, I'll introduce you to my Father, and you will know the Father yourself. Beloved, Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to make this possible, that you, a human being, can not only speak and talk like a spiritual person, but you can talk the language of God, the Creator himself. So the church, the Holy Spirit has come to teach the church the truth about who God is and who is Jesus Christ and what is this and what is that. So that you can know the distinction between other things. We told you in the morning, there are many voices, there are many attempts, but there's only one voice. There's only one way. There's only one master. There's only one God. Yet there are many masters there. And except the Holy Spirit teaches you about the truth, about things, any voice, anyone that delivers any good thing can be accepted as God. And that is the catch. That's why the Holy Spirit is there, to teach you all truths. In John 15, he said, when the Comforter comes, even the Spirit of truth, he shall testify of me. So he's come to teach, and he's come to aid the church to do what? To testify about Jesus. In John 15, Jesus labored on to let us know that we cannot work without him. If we did anything outside him, we are not of the family. We are not of the divine system. Therefore, how do I tell that which is of Christ? How do I tell of the divine? That's why the Holy Spirit is there, to teach you the truth and to help you to truly identify the things that are of Christ and operate thereby. So you are not going to accept any teaching, any power display, anything. It is the Holy Spirit presence that this is of the truth. This is indeed of the Father. If you follow this, you are worshiping God in spirit, word, and in truth. So the Holy Spirit himself is a teacher. It's a teacher. In John 16, we move to a double level. In John 15, he will glorify. So you see, there is making the church a teaching ground, a learning ground for all people because of his holy presence. It's a second order of his teaching the truth, and teaching the people how to testify of the truth, to distinguish between voices, spiritual shows and demonstrations, so they will know the truth, the thing in spirit, and the worship shall be in spirit and what? In truth. It's the Holy Spirit that will do the sanctification. We mentioned that you need sanctification, and after that, you need what? Accreditation. Jesus said he sanctified himself by the word of truth. And the Holy Spirit, that's the truth. He is the teacher of the truth. So when you have him and you learn, then no power or spirit can deceive you anymore. Because you have the truth and the spirit of truth, eternal truth and the spirit of truth with you as a teacher and friend, as a master. Hallelujah. And so when you walk with him, nothing shall take you by surprise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want you to know something. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you know the truth from the Holy Spirit, they will not scare you. They cannot frighten you. They cannot stop you because you come from a higher order, greater than themselves. That is the secret. That is why I want to be friend. That is why the people of God who are truly sanctified by the truth are hated in the environment of lies, falsehood, pretense, hypocrisy, etc. And they will always like what? To kill you. Because your presence, even if you have not spoken, your presence is like they see their conscience and themselves in the light of you all. And they shudder in their seats. Your presence is a debate. Your presence is fire. Your presence is a challenge. Your presence is a mighty force. And who is what is the secret between your presence? Is what? The Holy Spirit. He will teach you how to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit also has come to do what? To teach the church how to glorify the Son, the Master. How you glorify the Son, how you glorify whom? The Father. At the youth conference, I mentioned it here. It is not every son. Jesus said, it's not everybody who says what? Lord, Lord, that can enter the kingdom. So it is not every sound that looks sweet, that is of God. It is not every word that speak about Jesus that is gospel. If it's a sound, then the words must create what? A sound, divine sound, to carry divine message into the hearts of the men and women who hear it. When you are preaching the truth and you are glorifying the Lord, you are not appealing to human senses. You are not appealing to their acceptance. It is your spirit which is looking for God that shall fully open to receive the message. So when we preach the truth, we are not only leading the people to know the truth, but we are sanctifying them from what? Falsehood. So they will know the difference between what is false and what is true. So Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, has come to equip the church. You see, Jesus is not there again to tell the mother said, whatever he tells you to do, he will turn water into what? Wine. This is not the time. He's not there again. But he has a friend who is with you. And if the occasion does arise, his friend knows how you can turn what? Not just gallons of water into what? Wine for people to drink. You can turn a whole 5,000 people with what? A fish, a little fish, by blessing the food. The spirit of multiplication and the power of the creative power of the divine one shall rest upon you, and you shall feed thousands. You are but a little child, but you are feeding thousands. I told you this morning that somebody was worried. How can the leaders that have gone astray be helped? I said, the voice cry where? In the wilderness. What we are saying now, I've left my note. I'm making it simple for you to understand the thing so that you can relate it, whatever level you are. You can tell the world the truth and nothing what but the truth. In other words, your worship must be dictated, directed by whom? The Holy Spirit. Because you don't know what pleases God. So he has to give you not only the word, but what? The sound upon which this message can travel. So it is not any sweet music that is of God. Even however much you said, Hallelujah, or you mention, you shout some Magnificat or Lulilificat or Father Cat, and your words are, Holy Spirit, it is awesome, it is this. This doesn't make it so. It is which spirit is what? In operation. And who is giving the honor? So the songwriter said, my soul has found. Oh, oh yes, ever, yes, I want you to stop here. Excuse me, you stop here. He said, my soul has found what? Where? In whom? In Jesus Christ. Not in what? Not in the form of or what? Of creed. Not by some registration. Not in I believe God the Father. Not by shouting the church prayer. Not by learning the whole of Psalm 100,000. But the spirit of truth in you is the one that will praise the Father of truth. He will receive from him and give to you. And you will walk in the veil. In the plain and veil where spiritual things, I told you, divine what? Supernatural performance. So you can sing a song which is sweet where, and it looks good, but it can turn the people's hearts away from whom? From God. And you can sing a song that will make them yearn more. Hallelujah. Yearn more. As the person is singing a song, there's a sweet presence where? Sweet presence where? Of Jesus Christ. And he said, what? The songwriter's word. When the soul that yearns hears who? The voice of Jesus. His name shall bring what? Hope. So it's not the form. It's not the way you render the music or the sound of boom, 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 the rhythm. But the spirit behind it and the power behind it and the purpose of it. So be able to worship God, to sing songs that are worthy of God. The Holy Spirit is there. You cannot learn it from anywhere else. Hallelujah. And so your choir must find time to fast and pray. Your choir must get inspiration of new songs taught by whom? The Holy Spirit. And you yourself will compose and write things. And you know, by the time you read, you are know that you are not the author of what you're reading. But who is the author? The Holy Spirit. And you will learn yourself. You take no pride for the product. Because who did the work? The Holy Spirit. Finally, are the same Holy Spirit in the church, making the church an institution. In John 16, from verse 13 downwards to 24, Jesus Christ describes from John 16, 7 to 9, when the Holy Spirit that he shall preach, he was convicted of what? Sin, righteousness, what? Judgment. And he gave his reasons. But by 13, he said, howbeit, when the Spirit himself comes, he will receive of me, and what? And the Father, and what? And give it to you. So, first of all, he has come to teach us the truth. He's come to walk us to learn how to glorify the Father and the Son. He's come to make the church a school where everybody is learning the new things of God. Then finally, since all the things that Jesus taught could not be received and kept by the disciples, in everything, new things are bound what? To rise. The Holy Spirit is there to receive from whom? The Father and the Son for the church. When a pastor, a church, says that the Holy Spirit, the days of the Holy Spirit are over, then he himself has not entered into the things of God yet. Anybody who tells you that the days of the Holy Spirit are over, the days of prophecy are over, because now we can read the scripture, he is telling you that his personal interpretation of the scripture is equal to God's interpretation. That shows how ignorant he is. And I'm not saying he's ignorant, but I say, you see, already who has entered the church? Jesus said, somebody will come. Paul said that. Who has entered the church? The Antichrist. They don't want to give who the honor? Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has come to do who honor? Jesus Christ. And teach you how to glorify him, to walk in the truth. Now, he too feels that he's still a human being. After 2,000 years, Jesus must go and rest. It is our time. So now we are the Jesuses of the day. And he will give his name instead of the name of whom? Jesus Christ. If he uses the name the Holy Spirit will rebuke him of sin and of what? Righteousness and judgment. So he dare not say it is the Holy Spirit that is teaching him. He is saying that the days of the Holy Spirit and divine receiving and telling and guiding the church are over. That is falsehood, superlative. But any church, a Christian leader, a theologian, a preacher, an apostle, a prophet, or a pope that teaches that one cannot be of Christ. Or he is yet to find him. Let's pray that they will find him. Let's pray that our fathers and our elders and our brothers will look for the Holy Spirit with understanding, with humility, and with total submission. With what? Understanding. Second, with what? Humility. And what? Total submission. For we are here to glorify the Lord. He said he will receive from us and give you. In other words, there are new things that may well arise. And when the new things come, how do you approach them? When you have the Holy Spirit with you and you are on your knees and you seek his face. He said, he that is with him shall never do what? Walk in darkness. He will teach you the way. We have considered the church as a school. The coming of the Holy Spirit makes the church. It changes the nature of the church from being human institution, depending on human mind, human understanding, to a heavenly institution where direction comes from where? Heaven. The church cannot be dictated to by earthly wise men. For all their wisdom and the righteousness of men is what? Filthy. Are you convinced? Are you converted now? Would you now join the school of ministry by the Holy Spirit? Today, if you decided that now that I'm in the church, I realize the church is what? A school ground for me to learn new things, to walk a different person, to receive from the Father and whom the Son to guide my life, to interpret human phenomena, whether phenomena, in the light of divine light, understanding, and direction. I'm no more my own. I live for Jesus Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit has come to make you a vessel, sanctified, what? And made meet for what? The master's use. He gave you what? He has made you what? A vessel, what? Sanctified. Sanctified by what? The truth. And made what? Meet, molded in a way that you can receive and handle the truth so that others shall be blessed. You'll be made meet for the master's use, not for your use, not what you are peeling. What God wants. May God bless you tonight. The church is a school, and the teacher of that school is called what? Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the headmaster. Praise the Lord. He is the principal of what? Of the school. But who is the teacher? The Holy Spirit. And the appointed men, the fivefold ministry. This. The Bible says the church is built upon the foundations of whom? The apostles and the prophets. And that is built upon what? The teachings of Jesus Christ, being what? The chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets also were guided by whom? The same Jesus, the Holy Spirit. For what they did is not their own, but as the Spirit gave them utterance and directed them, so they did. So this was to make put flesh unto the bone that Jesus is. The Jesus word, personal stature and teaching is the measure of all works, men of God and women of God. As for you, you have decided that you are no more living for yourself. You are living for God. This morning, I was persuaded that we should offer our life afresh for the fulfillment of this divine order on earth, led by whom? The Holy Spirit. If you agree with me, will you bow down your ears and now talk to God quietly? Now, you submit your soul, your heart, your mind with understanding. Because the whole church is a school. The opportunity to serve in the church is part of the curricula of the school. And the teacher, real teacher, is whom? The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The only person that can save, today you have passed the test. It is time when you enter into glory. There the great books will be opened, and the things you did according to the direction of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit shall be there. And that if there be any finding in the great books, that is your treasure that you have built in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, here we are. We are vessels in your heart this afternoon. This church is a school. The great teacher is the Holy Spirit. The fivefold ministry are to assist Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to teach others and to do other things. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Submit yourself anew to this new revelation. Talk to God about your life. Who are you? Are you a vessel sanctified or being sanctified for the Master's use? Are you ready to carry the burdens of the Father, Son, and walk on earth for the sake of the earth, to reconcile the world unto God, to redeem human souls, and to break the chains of Satan and set captives free? I'm grateful to the Lord for you. Before concluding this matter, I'll just treat briefly the Holy Spirit power as a power system. Tomorrow we shall discuss the power system. But the Holy Spirit comes with power. But the power is a divine power system. It's not power for power, for the sake of power, but the divine purposes and glory on earth. Now, it is a power system. The whole thing is power system. The Holy Spirit is power. And that's what he has been from the beginning. So where he is, power is on demonstration. So every department of the Holy Spirit operation is an area where there are new things to learn or new things to do. So it is, if there is prophecy, I'll just pick you one. Tomorrow we'll do that. If we are talking about gift of prophecy, it doesn't end there. The gift of prophecy on you opens a door of communication, heavenly language, or bidding to others. And there are still deeper things in prophecy to learn. So the first anointing of the gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, is not the end of the journey. It's now the beginning. It's a power system. As you humble yourself, you go deeper and deeper. Even prophetic utterance, healing, diverse kinds of what? Miracles and healings. Is also just an open door. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter by me, what? You'll find. So if you enter, the Holy Spirit, you are anointed for the first time. That is not the end. It is now an open door for you to learn more and to operate in a better way, higher way, more glorious way, Father's way. So that your power doesn't end with you. It opens a door of deepening relationship and deepening performance. Glorious performances. So you don't stop on the way because you can prophesy and you can interpret. Oh, now that I can prophesy and interpret, it's finished. There's more to learn. There are more things to do. There are greater works. Hallelujah. There are mountains to speak to. Hallelujah. That will bow. Thank you. I'll just take you. Each system, each department, each realm of creation is a power system. And each one can be deepened and can be, because it's divine. There's no limit to God's knowledge and wisdom and power. So you have not ended because you can prophesy a few words, or you can see visions, or you can lay hands and the people are raised from the dead. There's more to learn. So humility at the feet of God is a prerequisite in this wonderful institution and power system called what? The Holy Spirit in the church. My invitation to you tonight is is that? Think of the door that is open to you. Where do you stand right now with the divine power, wisdom, and knowledge? And how far can you allow yourself? Can you learn more so that you be of greater service? I want to believe that this conference shall produce a new set of servants of God for the church in Ghana, for the church in Africa, and for the church in the world. May God help us if we can be found among such people, or we can be such a people. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
He shall reign over his people, and he'll be their God.